Welcome to Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds podcast. There are lots and lots of IT professionals work in the industry. These IT jobs are so exhausting mentally, there isn't much time left for such folks to make clever decisions about their investments. Most are unable to put their money in the right asset classes. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. I have worked in corporate America in IT and in business organizations for 25 years. My goal is to educate IT professionals like you about the benefits of passive investing. I will be passing my knowledge and will bring guests who have done very well in their careers and can explain the process and advantages of passive investing. So, let's begin. Well, hello. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. Today, this is yet another podcast of Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds. We have a distinguished guest with us, Derek Clifford. And Derek, welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Prashant. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. I'm going to do your formal introduction so that our listeners know who they are listening to today. And we have some fun things to talk about today. So Derek is a successful single and multifamily real estate investor. He has successfully retired himself from his full-time job. Today, he's a multifamily investor controlling 400 plus apartment units with over $40 million asset under management. He is an author and podcast host of Elevate Your Equity podcast. Derek is also the founder and CEO of Elevate Equity, a private real estate firm, and also published his first book, Part-Time Real Estate Investing for Full-Time Professionals. Very well. In 2020, he published that book in 2020, and the aim of the book is to help corporate employees getting onto the path of growing their passive income on the side while working and unlocking 3 degrees of freedom: time, location, and financial. Derek, welcome to our show today. And we would like to hear all about your 3 degrees of freedom. You have a very unique background. I recently heard, like we were talking, you told me that, you have moved out from the full-time job, you have sold your home, and you have location freedom. So take away the show. I would interject in between, but I would like to hear your unique perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know where to start, but maybe I'll just do a really quick overview of where I came from and then how we got to where we are. Yes. Yeah, so I started investing in real estate on accident. My wife bought a condo back in 2008, right before the crash. We couldn't sell the thing, so we had to rent it out. And then that got me thinking, hey, if we can make all this cash flow on accident, what would happen if we did it on purpose? And so we started building up our little portfolio up on the side. And at the time, I was working as a chemical engineer in refineries in Washington State. So I always had a slant towards numbers and growth. And I loved putting pieces together from a numerical perspective. And after reading Rich Dad, I was like, man, I've got to be the person in that book that builds the water pipeline. I can't be carrying buckets of water from the river all the way to the town. I got to be building that pipeline, right, to get the water through there. So thinking about like how to create passive income, I went the Dave Ramsey route. I tried to save as much money as I could, pay off debt and everything. And then we came across this way of investing in real estate, and I just couldn't deny it, right? So we started with single family homes, grew to a point where we couldn't take out any loans anymore. So we're like, okay, well, maybe we get portfolio loans or we start buying multifamily. So we ended up buying multifamily. Then we ran out of cash because we kept doing a whole bunch of joint ventures. And then once we ran out of cash, we're like, well, now I need help, right? So then I sought out some mentors in the syndication space so that I could help continue to do what I'm doing all on the side without any of my own money. Of course, a lot of effort and energy too, but that's how that worked out. So, we started doing our first syndications back in 2020, raised and placed capital with a few people that we trusted and met in some masterminds online during COVID, and just really kind of took off from there. Then we started sponsoring our own deals, continuing to do joint ventures with some of our select investors that have lots of capital and they want more exposure to do this themselves potentially. So we kept doing those. And then, this thing got to become so big of a side hustle, Prashant, that it ended up needing to become my full-time thing. Mm-hmm. So about a year ago, we ended up selling our house And we pretty much packed up everything we could and reduced everything. Like we sold everything we could. So that right now we're at a point where all we own is a Honda CRV and six pieces of luggage with our clothes and toiletries and some of our essential things in there. Otherwise, everything is digitized. Everything that we want is there. And all of our assets are producing income. And when we sold our house in the California Bay Area, it turns out you can live almost anywhere in the world for cheaper. And so that is what actually created not only location freedom, yep, and time freedom, because I quit my job, right, to do this, but it also created financial freedom all at the same time, because when we left, all of our expenses just dropped significantly because we weren't living in the Bay Area anymore. And yep, so right now I'm talking to you from Portugal, and we just kicked off our European tour, where we'll be here for about 4 months, just living in Europe because we want to.
Interesting, very interesting, Derek. I have not heard so far anybody, selling their home and just living out of suitcases. This is pretty impressive, so to say. I mean, and it just so happens that you are the second person whom I'm talking to today who lived in Bay Area and doesn't live there anymore.
There you go. It's just the way it is.
both in kind of a tech environment. You know, you are a chemical engineer, and your story kind of correlates to my story also, although maybe I'm a little bit older than you. You know, I have a daughter who's going to college and stuff, but I started in single family homes also, started doing multifamily, JV. Recently, you know, I have taken a break from my job, although my daughter will be going to college, but I would love to do what you are doing. Really,
oh, great.
I would love to do what you are doing. It's just that, you know, I have two kids, you know, I have to take care of their college and stuff like that. But it kind of resonates with me, you know, the story resonates.
Yeah, you know, I think if your family is on board, I still think there's a way to do this, because I know people that are doing this. Mm-hmm. It's just that it will take sacrifice. And even if you don't do it full time, like, yeah, hey, you know, why not take the summers off and take your kids with you to go live in Iceland or something for 3 months, right? You could Airbnb out a portion of your home if you're that kind of person, or you just foot the bill and just go out and do it and get that taste, see what it's like to live in those different places for a little while. And then eventually you'll be able to figure out how to get more of that for yourself.
Yes. So through your, let's talk about your three freedoms, you know, time, location, and financial, you know. I know over a period of time you achieved financial freedom, and that led to time freedom, and that led to location freedom. I think that's the order you would go about it, right? I mean,
actually, you know, for us, it didn't go in that order. We were looking for any type of degrees of freedom at all in the beginning. We didn't know what we wanted at all, because whenever anyone thinks about financial independence, they think about as all as one. Like you finally get to a point where you quote unquote make it, to be able to say, okay, now I can quit my job, go travel, do whatever I want to do. I don't think about it that way. I think about it as stages. And what happened with me is we first got location independence because I was working as a project manager for a company in the Bay Area that maybe you know well, PG&E. So I was at Pacific Gas and Electric Company.
Wow. Okay. Everybody knows about that.
Yeah, everyone knows about them. So I was working as a project manager for them for a very long time, about 6 years. Mm-hmm. And when I left the job, COVID enabled me to do some of the traveling. So even though we had sold our property about in May last year, I was still working a full-time job until September, still traveling around California, because they enabled me to do that because it was COVID. So I imagine a lot of your listeners are mobile and they can go anywhere they want. So they already have this location freedom, but they're already kind of tied because they've got, you know, kids or responsibilities in the locations that they go. But I would encourage you to think about the fact that you could do your work from anywhere. So over the summertime, during spring break, or even in the middle of school, if you are really on board and you really want to make it happen, you have that first degree of freedom. You can really travel anywhere you want to go. And once I had that first degree, I kind of started craving. I'm like, wait a minute, now I can kind of like work on time freedom. Because if you do time freedom and you get a situation arranged with your work or with your work situation, and a lot of tech workers are here also, at a point where you can work 20 hours a week or 10 hours a week, or just take the whole week off, or you have to work 80 hours a week, you have a little bit more flexibility in how to live your life on that second degree, right? Which is time. So that helps out a lot. So if you have those two, you're already almost all the way there.
Right.
That financial, though, really unlocks everything, because then once you get to a point where all of your assets are paying for your bills, now you have full control over all aspects of how you live life, right? And when you live it and where you live it. And right. It's really interesting how we got the first degree of freedom, which is location. Then we realized that we could control our time if I escaped my W-2 and started working on my business full time, which was generating income, but I had control of when I was working, when I wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we got to a point with all the success that we've gotten in our business, working really hard when we were working and then taking time off when we were off, to get to the financial freedom. And it didn't hurt either, Prashant, that when we were traveling, it is so much cheaper to live in Portugal than it is in the California Bay Area, right? Even when you're enjoying going out into the city and having a great meal and all these great things, it's just incredible the amount of living you can do when you're not stuck in one location.
Well, so one thing which COVID has brought us definitely, you know, from IT sector standpoint, the location freedom, which you said, you know, there is definitely location freedom. There are people all over the world. I mean, a lot of people moved out from bigger cities like California, I mean, like San Jose, San Francisco, or New York City, and moved to semi-urban areas or rural areas and started living a cheaper life, for sure.
Yes.
That's number one. Number two, time, you know, obviously with remote work, as long as you can control your time, if you have to work 8 hours, granted that at least in IT sector, information technology sector, if you are working 8 hours in the office, you end up working 10, 12 hours at home. But I mean, there are ways you can kind of, you have the flexibility, right? You can go out during the day, do something, go to the bank, take care of a few things, and can still take care of things in the night for your W-2 job. So you have a little bit of freedom there. And as you said, you keep on working harder and harder, and there comes a time where you snap it. You have the financial freedom. You have, and that's when the journey actually begins.
That's right. And you know, one thing that I've discovered in this path is that, you know, we're working so hard to get to this financial freedom thing. A lot of people forget to think about what happens once you achieve it. What do you do with yourself once you're there, right? Like if you're a passive investor, which I highly recommend that people get involved in passive investing, because that is the easiest way to build wealth while you're a very, very busy person. But start looking at other things that you want to do when you do leave, right? Because, man, you know, I've seen so many people that get depressed and they end up going back to work because they don't know what to do with themselves after they've achieved financial freedom. So I think that it's worth looking at, you know, at least figuring out, okay, I have time freedom, I have location freedom, what do I want to do with those freedoms? Like, once I get to the financial piece where I don't have to have this tether of a job, what do I want to do to add value to the world somehow? And it's a perfect time to leverage these 2 degrees of freedom to figure out what's going to happen once you have even more degrees of freedom, because it can be a curse, Prashant, if you don't know what you're going to do with your life. You're just going to sit there and twiddle your thumbs, right?
So, I kind of take that last piece very seriously, that you want to invest your time. You know, if you have out of W-2, you want to invest your time in the right direction. Something that you truly, truly want to do. For you, you know, travel is definitely important thing. You are taking the steps in that direction. For me, just to let you know, Derek, I spend a lot of time meditating and helping others to meditate. Free of charge, as a service to the world, basically. So for me, that piece is very important, and I'm hoping that I start doing that more than what I used to do. I mean, I'm always willing to help. I mean, I'm always available if somebody needs to learn a little bit from me. I'm always, always available. I will drop everything and do that. It's like the priority of life. So if you don't do that, I mean, if you don't prioritize, you know, you have taken the priority in your life. You have gone, sold your house. You want to do what you want to do. I want to do what I want to do. I mean, after quitting my job, so that's the purpose of my life, you know. So it's very important. I mean, you don't want to be monkeying around, you know, and just wasting your time. You took the financial freedom because you wanted to do something which is substantial, which means a lot to you, right? You just don't want to waste your time.
100%. While you're spending all of this energy with your location, time, freedom that you're trying to build financial, mm-hmm. you need a vision to mm-hmm. help, you know, to boost your mindset, or to help, you know, corral your mindset around to say, this is what I really want to do. Because if you don't have that vision, you don't have an idea of what you're going to do when you get to that other side, it's not going to be as compelling. You're not going to be as motivated to get there. And so ironically, it's going to take longer for you to get there if you don't have that. So I really think that it's important for people to understand what it is that drives them and why they want to get to financial freedom. And I think for you, that, I mean, you have plenty of things going on. You've got, you know, this, the My Realty Gains, you have all of this branding going on. You've got meditation happening. You have your family, you have potential travel, and all these things are fantastic. And so I just encourage the audience to list all those things out and understand what you're trying to do, what's at stake, and what are you trying to get to once you get to the financial freedom piece?
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of getting to the purpose of your life, you know.
Yes.
Internalizing what do you really want to do in your life? Because that is very important piece. I mean, when we are inside the box, we do not know how the world looks outside, right? So we have to kind of meditate and have that mindset to come out of that box and start looking at yourself from outside to see, you know, what are you doing right now and why are you doing right now?
Yes.
So, you know, I wanted to kind of go into the mindset conversation we were having before the start of the podcast. What do you have to say? What is the role of mindset in this? I know we.
Oh. You
know, yeah.
Yeah. This is huge, right? Okay. So, if you're talking about mindset in terms of this, I imagine you mean the journey from, you know, being lost and in going to a place where you're financially free and choosing yeah. life on your own terms.
Yeah.
I think that mindset is the number one determinant of whether or not someone gets from that point A to point B.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I'd like to talk about that also helps make that happen. I call it the four C's.
Mm-hmm.
And the four C's is clarity, consistency, coaching, and connections or network, right? Wow. And if you have those four things, the mindset underpins all four of them. If you don't have the mindset, you don't have the engine behind all four of those things to keep you going, because you will have challenges, you will have difficulties, you will have to make changes, right? And changes means either sacrifices, or it means needing to pull out some little extra energy when you didn't think you had any in there. Those are things that you're going to have to do in order to get to where you want to go. And that all takes a context of mindset. So I'm a huge fan of always reading books. Every once a quarter or so, I'll read some of these impressive books that I'll keep rereading over and over again, like Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, The Gap and the Gain, The One Thing, a lot of these classic books that just help keep me going. And so it's really important to fine tune your mind, just like people fine tune their body, like an athlete, a superior athlete needs to tune their body. You, as an investor and as someone who's on the journey to financial freedom, you need to tune your mind, right? Keep it up so that when you're ready to go, all engines are firing at all times and you're maximizing your chances of success. So I love that mindset question. So important.
Well, I'm just totally impressed when you said, you know, you talk about four C's, you know, clarity, consistency, connections, and coaching, right?
Coaching.
Mm-hmm. So those four things are extremely, extremely important. And to be frank with you, you know, folks who are with high-tech minds, they are kind of lacking the clarity to begin with, because they are inside the box. Their clarity is that 8 o'clock in the morning, start the work and finish it at 6 o'clock in the evening. That's their clarity. And after 6 o'clock, time to booze.
Nothing.
There's nothing.
That's right. There's nothing else. Exactly. I would say that the weakest of those C's is as far as you're going to go. And that's what's really sad about all of this, right?
Yeah.
And depending on the person, you have different lead. Like for me, what was really important was consistency. As long as I focused on consistency, then all of the other three C's just kind of fell into place, right?
Yeah.
Some people are motivated by coaching. Some people get really inspired by doing vision boards and being really clear about what it is that they want to achieve. So if you understand what it is that drives you the most, push that lead domino, push that lead C, and then the other threes will fall into place. And that's how you get it. But you need to have the mindset to be able to stick through the journey that it takes to hold those four C's in balance. Okay. That's just my thinking.
Let me take a step back. You know, what do you recommend to listeners to develop that mindset? That's a real question. You know, four C's are, when you have the mindset, then you know that these four C's are there. But what is that they need to do to develop that mindset? You know, as I said, you know, most of us start our day at 8 o'clock, finish it at 6 o'clock, and after that, kids and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's it. You know, that's the end of the game. But how should one develop that habit, you know, to have to be fine-tuned in that C's concept to get to, you know, that thing is missing somewhere. People feel like just working in this job and retiring is my clarity, my goal.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I know. Right. Exactly. I love this. And this is great. I've never thought of it in this way before because no one's posed that question of what comes behind it. But I think, you know, in terms of mindset, dedicating yourself to, I mean, you're obviously in the right place right now listening to your podcast because this is great content for the listeners. I think that the education piece is really important and leaning onto one of those four C's with mindset in mind. So if you're going to do mindset, maybe get a community, like a mastermind community where you can focus on mindset with someone. So pay, you know, for a mastermind group, pay for a mastermind or a mentor, pay for a coach to help you with mindset, or pay yourself by listening to podcasts consistently, right? And every single day, or get really clear on what you want to listen to and then just seek them out with the clarity, right? So I think the mindset piece is a component of those four C's. And I think you just have to have the education and the exposure to all of this through podcasting. And you just got to pick which C you're going to have that expression come out in and really focus on the mindset. And it does take time. So please, just like in meditation, be very patient with yourself, because the more you try to rush this and the more you try to force it, the more inauthentic it's going to be and the harder it's going to be to actually make this a lasting change. So I think that the books that we mentioned too are very valuable resources. The podcasts, tons of podcasts on mindset out there. But the books that really resonate with me is The One Thing, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Think and Grow Rich is classic. The Richest Man in Babylon. All of these classic books that I'm sure you've mentioned before in previous podcasts and with other guests are such a great help for someone to tackle it. But tactically, you want to pick a C that you're the strongest and most inclined towards, and then just start tackling it in a mindset sort of way.
I just love this conversation, you know, the direction in which this conversation is going. I know you mentioned meditation also, and I have a question there, but I want to add one thing for my listeners because, you know, most of us, you know, like I came from India in 97. Most of us have come from other countries, obviously Asia, Southeast Asia, wherever. And we have our circle. We have a lot of friends, you know, Indian friends or, you know, whomsoever you get up. So my thought process is try to surround yourself with the like-minded people. Yes, you have friends, you know, family friends, stuff like that, who are talking about, you know, somebody's talking about dance, somebody talking about culture, but try to surround yourself with the people who are in these kind of assets and go and connect with them and be helpful to them and learn from them, so to say, right? I mean, that couple of hours that you have extra, use it for your advantage because you are the only one responsible for your own growth. So that couple of hours, you know, maybe a couple of hours in a week, you spend your time with, you know, those folks who are in the industry doing the right thing.
Yes. And, you know, I want to go a little bit deeper just real quick with this. I know that we're getting short on time, but I want to expand that if your goal is meditation, let's just forget about passive income, right? Yeah. If your goal is meditation, you're probably going to need a teacher. Yeah. You're probably going to need a community to talk to. You're probably going to need a set time to be able to dedicate to this. And you're probably going to need a reason to do it, right? So all four of those things are the four C's that we're talking about. So just intentionally lean into just one of them, right? Like just start with that. And you'll start to see that the others will start to kind of collaborate and fall around no matter what it is that you're looking at. If it's meditation, passive investing, getting away from your job, finding a new job, any of these things, right? It takes those four C's to make the change happen.
Wow, that's very, very profound how you connected those four C's into meditation. And not that I want to promote myself, but just for the listeners, you know, I am a, you know, certified instructor. I teach meditation as my hobby. I don't charge anything. I'm part of an organization. I've been meditating for the last 30 years. And for the last 15 years, I've been guiding others to meditate, gain some peace internally, all free of charge, always available. The name of the organization that I'm connected with is Heartfulness, heartfulness.org. We'll give you a lot of information. That was not the purpose of this podcast, but it went into that direction. So there are a bunch of C's that are covered there, so to say.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I think that's beautiful. And congratulations on that. And I'm a big fan of meditation. And maybe one of these days we can talk about it offline or maybe on another podcast.
Obviously, I would love to talk. I mean, maybe, yeah, I will invite you again or, you know, again to talk about only meditation. Let's do that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's a good idea. So, tell a little bit more about how a W-2 employee can invest. I know we are talking about, yes, you can get the financial freedom, but just give like, spend like a couple of minutes how you are helping W-2 employees and how much time do they need?
Yes. I think this is a great question. And, you know, to be brief, there's a couple of routes you can go down, right? There's always the active route, which is if you want to do BRRRS, you can find markets and build a team yourself. That's the active route. And if you're that type of person who is okay with the risk and reward, like you have a high risk, high reward tolerance, and you don't mind getting your fingers dirty and your family's on board with it, and you have all of the check boxes checked out, then I highly recommend that you do start with the active one, because then you'll be a better passive investor later. So it's kind of like this long-term investment. It's a lot of energy up front. You'll make a lot of good investment moves and everything with that. But for the most people who don't have the time, I think the passive investing through an apartment syndication or a self-storage syndication, after doing some learning, right, and studying and networking with people, again, the four C's come up and what you want to do and how you want to approach your investing strategy, you have to talk a little bit and start to get what matches what you're trying to achieve. And if it's passive income, then apartment syndications are great. Working with people that you trust, like Prashant, is highly, highly recommended because he's done a lot of work in this area. He screens deals. And just partnering with someone who knows what they're talking about is going to save you so much time and energy than if you tried to do it yourself. So you have those two routes. And so I can't recommend one or the other because it depends on the person. But for most people, it's the passive route in picking great people who know what they're talking about and letting them do all the work, right? Like giving them the money to work with, and then enjoying all the returns and having a great relationship with the operator. You're building up something greater than just an investment with the operator that you're working with.
Awesome. I mean, I know a bunch of people in, you know, Silicon Valley, you know, and most of the household incomes are upwards of $300,000-$400,000. We got both husband and wife. They work, and at the end of the day, they don't even have time to eat food properly, right? I mean, so I feel like, you know, for them to replace their income right away is probably not something that they can do right away, but at least they can start investing maybe a little bit actively, you know, like what you are saying, BRRRS strategy, buy, rent, rehab, refinance. Maybe start with that, or just best, you know, build a relationship, one couple of relationships with a couple of operators, and start, investing with them slowly and see how it goes. I mean, right? It's not about investing all the eggs in one basket, but see how it goes over a period of time, and then you build the relationship.
I agree. I think that there should be no rush, because real estate is very much a crock pot type of investment. It's not a microwave. You can't just throw it in there and wait and just hope and see that it works out okay. Yeah. In crock pots, when you put all the ingredients in and you let them simmer over time, it's going to become delicious. It always does.
Yeah.
At least most of the time, unless you have really bad ingredients, or, you know, there's no electricity, or there's basically, if there's a big problem with the operator or market, which some basic screening can help you with. I mean, that it only takes a few minutes to understand, you know, who's a good person to work with and who isn't. And the other thing I have to recommend in closing here, because I know you're getting close to time, is leverage the power of your spouse if you have one. Bring them to these conversations, right? If you're having a conversation with the sponsor, I know Prashant, for instance, would love to be able to talk with husband and wife together, because that gives an idea for who that person is that's going to be a partner with you on something, right? Even if they're a cash partner, because it goes two ways, right? There's a fit from limited partner to general, and then also general partner to limited. So if you can bring in your spouse into this conversation, when you're vetting sponsors to work with, you can pick up right away whether or not there's someone that has a red flag. And if there's a red flag when they're trying to put their best foot forward in working a new relationship, that's a problem, right? So leverage that relationship with your spouse. It's hugely important. So you don't have to do it all on your own.
Well, that's a golden nugget. I mean, I actually do recommend, when I talk to new investors, you know, if you want your wife or spouse to come join in the conversation, I would love to talk to them as well, so that they know whom they are investing. I mean, that's, you know, it comes with a lot of responsibility to take somebody's money and invest. So I want to make sure that, you know, they are comfortable discussing their details with me, and I'm comfortable discussing everything about the project with both of them, you know.
Yeah, and not only that, but also getting to know who they are as people, because in the end, this is all people, right? And so when you're working with someone who is a nice person to work with, and they understand if something goes wrong, or they just, like, they have the goals that really align with you, or say that there's someone that you have a great connection with because they love, you know, some form of meditation that's similar to what you're doing, but maybe a little bit different. Like, that's a huge personal connection there. So it can be so much more potent than just a business transaction. It's relationships that make it happen.
Wow. Derek, you brought a lot of good nuggets, you know, golden nuggets to our conversation today. I mean, you have shared your unique experience, you know, unique lifestyle, so to say, and a lot of motivational things for our passive investors, as well as for some active investors also. I mean, these are life. Sure. These are life lessons, you know. I mean, these are not that you can read from the books. Yes, you can read it from the books, but if you listen it from horse's mouth, you know, it creates so much impact. I seriously, you know, wish that our listeners are getting the value out of this conversation. Of course, time is of essence, Derek. You know, we would love to have you on our podcast again in future.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah.
We should have you on ours.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I will come to your podcast too. Yes. So, I mean, any final words for our listeners?
Yeah. You know, I know we're wrapping up here, so I'm going to keep it brief, but if you guys want to find out more about what we do, the 3 degrees of freedom, the 4 C's, all of that, it gets discussed a lot where we're from. So, just check us out at elevateequity.org, or, I have a free gift for all those podcast listeners to your amazing show. Go to elevateequity.org/podcast gift, all one word. And it's a free ebook on the 5-step blueprint, or the 5 types of equity that my wife and I built up together to help create a life of financial time and location freedom all together at the same time while working a full-time job. And so it's really brief, meant for full-time employees, with an inventory checklist. Really, really good stuff. We're really proud of it. So that's all I'll say there.
Well, here you go. You got, you know, thanks for sharing the free gift with all the listeners. I mean, somebody has already done work for you guys, okay? Just go and grab it, you know? So somebody sharing the knowledge, right? So, I mean, what else can it be, you know? I mean, how better can it be, you know? So, Derek, any other, you know, how can they contact you? I mean, if they want to connect with you.
Sure, yeah. They can email me directly at derek@elevateequity.org. And then on their website, we have a whole bunch of links for how to get in touch with us as well. So just go to our website and you'll be in good hands.
Sounds good. Derek, again, once again, thank you so much for your time, sir. And I know it is probably evening for you right now, or maybe late evening. And, you know, hopefully you have had your dinner. You know, enjoy your time in Portugal and in Spain and everywhere else in Europe. I would love
thank you.
I just love Europe, by the way. You know, I have fallen in love in Europe. It's just that I don't go there that often. But someday, hopefully, I'll do
what you are doing. Let's change that. I love it. Yes. Thank you so much for having me on, Prashant. This was amazing.
Take care, sir. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. As usual, you can reach me via my website, www.myrealtygains.com, and via email, prashant@myrealtygains.com. I would love to hear from you and talk to you about specific needs you may have. Please schedule an appointment with me via my website, again, www.myrealtygains.com. Stay tuned for next podcast. This is Prashant Kumar signing off for today.